Okay, hello and welcome. You're listening to the Kres Files podcast with Adam and Garth. It's Sunday the 6th of December 2015. This podcast is available over at iTunes and also there's some over at podomatic.com. But you can go to our website, which is krasfiles.com. Always C-R-A-Z-Z for Kres and a ton of podcasts up there to check out, have a listen to and look at all the stories going up. We're also over at Facebook under the Kres Files and Twitter as well if you want to have a look there, and there's a YouTube channel as well, but all the info's on the website krasfiles.com, so check it out and thanks for listening. Okay. Finally ready to go. And Dr. Emma, you are plugged in with me today. And the General Lee Maddox from Real News Australia should be joining us soon. And of course, it's Sunday here in Australia, Saturday night for Dr. Emma. It's the 6th of December. And it's vaccines, vaccines, vaccines today, Dr. Emma. You're a real terrorist, aren't you, Dr. Emma? An absolute terrorist.
Yes, I must be.
Yeah, a real conspiracy theorist. That is, you know, I mean, telling people that vaccines are unsafe. I guess you're gonna start trying to convince me that GMO food is bad for me as well, and even Agent Orange is bad as well.
I mean, and I might try to convince you. You know, if it's a really bad day, I might try to convince you that what's coming out of the sky in chemtrails, the synthetic biology, the lithium, the uranium, that might be bad for you too.
Well, it's funny you just say that because this morning from 7 a.m. when I walked the dog, where I live in my particular area in Sydney, they are spraying everywhere. So I took a whole lot of photos and I'm going to put them up today on our Facebook page and website as well. But I noted probably four or five planes spraying, and they were actually spraying so much that they were crossing each other with big crosses. But I know it's all in my brain, all in my head, and I'm just a conspiracy theorist, and I know they're just contrails because now there's like a spider webby sort of milky film all across what was a beautiful morning. You know, it's not really happening. It's all in my head.
Anyway. You have to understand that the U.S. government has now admitted that it is geoengineering, but it's all for your good. It's to protect the children, of course. And you have to understand that what was denied for 50 years is now being admitted as a ho-hum. So you were a conspiracy theorist last week, and this week you're just talking about something that's ordinary normal, and we should all know that governments are doing it. And if you can figure that one out, well, you get a Nobel Prize in illogic.
Well, it's a nice name, isn't it? Geoengineering sounds nice, you know? It's like,
it does. Yeah. Sustainability sounds nice. You know, rewilding sounds lovely. Mm. Animal rights, giving, as in Japan, giving porpoises the same rights as humans sounds very, very nice. Giving elephants rights in India sounds very, very nice. Ecology sounds excellent and is. The problem is that all these excellent concepts are hijacked and are used against us. We think we know what these words mean, and in fact, they're used in such a special jargon sense that when we're agreeing to sustainability, thinking, for example, that we're talking about green fields and blue skies and clean water and lowing cows in the distance, in fact, what we're talking about is being compressed into transit villages and not being permitted to go anywhere on the light rail without a permit further than you can walk or bicycle, not having any private property rights, living in our entire life in 16 square meters of space. That's what Agenda 21 means by sustainability. And it's gotten worse with Agenda 2030, which controls literally every single aspect of your lives. And one of the things that it controls is vaccination. So this global push for vaccination, which is expressing itself in Australia in the no jab, no pay tyranny, and that's what it is. It's medical tyranny without any softening. That's precisely what it is, and it's precisely what it has to be called. Well, this medical tyranny now means that globally, everyone will have a no jab, no life rule. And it's up to us now to stop it while we still can. We will not be able to stop it for much longer. But if we nip it in the bud now, and the way we do that is by using our internationally protected legal right, and this is true whether we're talking about the United States, Canada, all the countries of the EU, Australia, New Zealand, all of these countries, the 126 countries which are signatories to the Geneva Convention, every one of them has agreed to change their national law to protect informed consent. What does that mean? It means that no jab, no pay is no way if you know how to assert your right. And then the would-be vaccinators must legally back off, leave you alone, and go inject their poison into somebody who does not know how to assert their legal right. Now, you have to remember that vaccines don't work. You have to remember that no vaccine has ever been shown to be either safe or effective. You have to remember that every single vaccine company that makes and deploys vaccines has paid enormous fines, billions of dollars in the United States alone for their corruption and their misleading advertising and their contaminated vaccines. And the polio vaccine, as I'm sure all of your listeners know, Adam, the polio vaccine has, the CDC in the United States has admitted that it knew that it was contaminated in 310 million courses of vaccine with leukemia and other cancer-causing virus called SV40. And they chose, get this, they chose not to require the manufacturer to do a simple single-pass filtration because it would have imposed a financial hardship on the manufacturer. How much of a financial hardship? Less than 5 cents U.S. per dose. So that's where the value system, if you will, of the vaccine manufacturers and their corrupt crony corporatist regulators are. But the real plan is to require mandatory vaccination, as U.S. veterans are being faced with all vaccines on the schedule, child or adult schedule. Now, currently, We're looking at about 500 adult vaccines on the schedule. Let me say that again, 500 adult vaccines, every single one of which is dangerous, every single one of which is effective. For instance, why don't you talk about what's happened in the UK, where the excess deaths, the winter deaths, are being blamed on the flu vaccine. And yet they're still saying, really, you should take more vaccines. You need the flu vaccine. Why do you need it? Because they want your immune system weakened, and they want you in the profitable state of very sick patients. So what would you like to talk about, the news from the UK about the flu vaccine?
Yeah, well, it's coming out in the main papers. They're actually blaming the vaccine now that it's just an utter failure, and so many people have these flus. And I'm sort of noticing even more weird stuff than that as well. I was just speaking to a guy this morning. He was saying there's like a new sort of stomach virus going around with adults all around Sydney areas and stuff. And I spoke to my old boss in my old job just before I left there about a month ago, and he was quite sick in hospital, and he told me that the doctor told him that adults now have like a constant year-round cough, that they're coughing and they can't get rid of it. So it's
have to assume that that's part of that is the chemtrails.
Yeah, well, it's I don't know. I just it's weird with the whooping cough vaccine as well. But you know, there's just weird stuff going around. I mean, people keep getting the flu shots and it isn't working. I mean, it's failed. They just keep pushing it, and that came out from the UK. You know, about that they're directly blaming the flu shots and they're not working now.
But they are suggesting, nonetheless, that people get the flu shot.
Even though they admit in the same passage that it isn't working.
And that takes us to whooping cough. Now, there's a lot of hoopla about whooping cough at the moment. Let's talk about whooping cough. Whooping cough is a disease that used to affect older children, preschool children, and early school age children. Now it's affecting babies. Why is it affecting babies? Because the whooping cough organism has been mutated. Now, when you take a virus or a bacteria and you put it in the presence of the adjuncts, the adjuvants, like aluminum and mercury and formaldehyde and polysorbate 80, and the other things that irritate and damage the immune system, you take the infective organism and you put it into a body that can't defend itself against the organism, but has an altered physiology. This organism is going to mutate. It's no surprise. It's no strange phenomenon. It will inevitably mutate. And when it mutates, its infective characteristics are going to change. You might get really lucky, and the organism might stop being able to cause disease. But that's not generally what happens. Instead, what happens is that the organism changes in the amount of disease and the characteristics of the disease, usually for the worse. So what you're doing is conducting, when you give a vaccine, you're first of all making the people who get the vaccine infective, which is why the process of cocooning, as it's called, which means making sure that grandmother and grandfather and the babysitter and everybody else is vaccinated against whooping cough in order to, quote, protect the newborn who is too young to be vaccinated. Well, by the way, if the newborn is too young to be vaccinated, Adam, why is the FDA now experimenting without informed consent on pregnant women by giving them the whooping cough vaccine, essentially just to see what happens to the mother and to the fetus? The baby's too young to be vaccinated, but we'll vaccinate the mom while the baby is in utero. Say what? Anyway, cocooning, vaccinating everybody who might come into contact with the baby does not work. Well, of course it doesn't work, because when you give people the whooping cough vaccine, they become infectious. They spread the disease. And the disease that they spread is now more virulent and is now more infective to infants who never used to get whooping cough. So we're talking about iatrogenic or pharmaceuticogenic damage and disease so much beyond autism. Autism is bad enough. Diabetes is bad enough. Attention deficit disorder is bad enough. Learning disabilities are bad enough. But now we're talking about even worse things. It truly boggles the mind, Adam.
It's sick, isn't it? And just to go back, that story from The Guardian was huge rise in winter death last year blamed on ineffective flu vaccine. So 151% rise in excess winter deaths in England and Wales represents the biggest yearly increase since records began. It's incredible. And they're all getting jabbed.
As to something else that the president of the Natural Solutions Foundation, and we didn't mention that I am the medical director of the Natural Solutions Foundation. Our principal website is Dr. Rima Truth Reports. I'm Dr. Rima. That's D-R-R-I-M-A, truthreports.com. And the president of our foundation, who also happens to be my husband, Major General Albert N. Stubblebine, recently wrote an article about the fact that white males have been losing their longevity advantage.
Hello.
Hello.
This.
Hi.
How are we?
How are you?
Good, good, Dr. Rima.
Just trying to plug you in there, Lee.
Yeah, excellent.
Don't know what happened there. I've got two Lee Maddox, and one doesn't work. That's
probably
okay.
Because I just had to reinstall it, so maybe get rid of the other one.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
We're just talking with Dr. Rima at the moment. Continue, Dr. Rima, as we move forward.
What I was saying is that the most biologically protected group in the United States historically in terms of longevity and health has been white males between 40 and 55. For the last 15 years, every single year since 2000, that group, that protected group, has lost 1% of their longevity capacity, if you will. In other words, they're dying sooner, 1% a year loss of their longevity advantage. And they continue to do that. The group below them has leveled off and will start showing an increase in mortality, a decrease in longevity. This is because we are giving people food that does not sustain life, P-H-U-D-E, not F-O-O-D. We are giving people drugs in the United States. 15% of the adult population takes five or more drugs, and no one, absolutely no one, knows what the biological impact of that polypharmacy is. And largely because of the continual onslaught of vaccines, which are coming at adults and children at the same horrifying rate. The Universal Vaccine for Children program in Australia will rapidly be followed by universal vaccines for adults. Veterans in the United States now are facing a law that the Senate passed, which says that the Veterans Administration Health Service must give every veteran every vaccine on the adult schedule. Currently, that's 90 vaccines it will shortly be 500 vaccines. There is no way that we're not going to start seeing adult autism. We're going to start seeing adults collapse in, after vaccinations in the same way that children collapse. And this is all part of the globalist plan. Yes, I am a conspiracy factist. I am not a conspiracy theorist. The theory is no longer necessary. We have the data and the hypothesis has been proven. These bastards want to kill us, but first they want us weak and profitable.
On your knees,
on your back in a hospital bed.
Well,
and
yeah.
unless we take the steps that we can take to protect ourselves, we will die in large numbers.
Don't worry, Bill Gates will be there to help you, Dr. Rima.
I'm so pleased. I was
he's
worried.
Happy. Yeah, he's talking about 200 new generation, probably experimental GMO vaccines in the pipeline, and he's basically saying that, you know, basically in the future or coming years, maybe if you're even allowed to have children, they won't need immune systems anymore because our new generation's synthetic vaccines will bypass their immune systems and your child won't get sick and they can live forever on Mr. Bill Gates's vaccines. They're talking, as Dr. Remy, you just said, hundreds of them. Hundreds of these vaccines, Lee. They're going to be bringing down the pipelines.
It's insane, isn't it?
I was just thinking, Dr. Rima, the other day about that. You're saying over 200. You're saying, well, Dr. Sherry Tenpenny sent me an article on this, a scientific article on 300 new vaccines in the pipeline. So that I would assume, Lee, that the vaccine push, say, for example, for us in Australia, is so vicious because this represents billions of dollars for pharmaceutical companies if they're coming in with these new generation vaccines and they don't want people to be spooked.
The pharmaceutical companies have said, this is not my imagining, the pharmaceutical companies have said that with the new universal vaccine mandates in the United States alone, they are anticipating, hold on to your hat, folks, they are anticipating in the next 10 years excess profits just from the vaccines, not from your illness caused by the vaccines, excess profits over what they have now in the amount of $100 billion.
Now, there you go. That's why they want us all on them. It's pretty obvious. I mean, that's why they're so desperate, as I just said, Lee. That's why they're really pushing it in this country and getting... That's what Rupert Murdoch does. He uses his media to sell vaccines, and these people are... It's like war, isn't it?
Heavily invested in the industry, so it's all good for him, for sure.
It's like Dick Cheney and all these Bushes and that you see in the US. You know, they create wars, and they all sit on the boards of these companies
like
manufacture all the weapons and hardware that gets sent over to these countries, so they make money. So war for them is very profitable, just like vaccines, and that's why I think they're very desperate to shut us up. Because they don't want too many people getting scared of the vaccines because it's so many coming.
Exactly. It's also, and let me point out to your listeners what they, I hope they already know, but let me remind you that these vaccines are, these vaccines include the behavioral vaccines, the ones that will make it impossible for you to say no, the ones that make it impossible for you to be angry, the ones that will make it impossible for you not to want to be altruistic and serve these people in any way you can. These behavioral vaccines have been in the pipeline for quite some time now, and if they don't terrify you, you're not paying attention.
I was going to say, I think Adam sent me a link on that. You're absolutely right. There's literally hundreds of these, and most of them, like you said, are all they're behavioral vaccines. They're not related to many diseases. They seem to have all these diseases, you know, covered, although they seem to be making up a few new ones here and there. But you're right, they all seem to be behavioral vaccines, which I just thought was absolutely mind-blowing. Who wants to have a behavioral vaccine? I just don't understand it.
I asked her about that yesterday, Lee, Dr. Rima, because I know it sounds strange, and I'm not picking on anyone, but it just seems like people who take vaccines seem to want them more, and people who aren't vaccinated want to head to the hills.
Mm. So are they all there's a real divide, isn't there?
It seems like people...
I thought that was a brilliant comment.
Are they wanting them?
What you said is extremely insightful and very important, because vaccines, well, don't forget fluoride, but vaccines are seen as and are presented as an unquestioned and unparalleled good, when in fact they are an unquestioned and unparalleled evil. There is absolutely nothing good about a vaccine. Not one single vaccine. And part of the problem, many people don't understand this, is that vaccines have been defined as effective when they do what? When they produce antibodies, not when the antibodies prevent disease. So if you put poison into the body, and that poison includes foreign protein, the body will inevitably respond by making antibodies to the foreign protein. Yes, indeed, it will. And those antibodies, it's the immune response, what's left of it, yes. That is not the same as protection against disease. It has absolutely nothing to do with whether or not the disease is protected against. And in fact, what we see with the flu vaccine, with the mumps vaccine, with the measles vaccine, with every vaccine is no, it does not protect you against the disease. The measles vaccine, according to the CDC website, causes measles. The polio vaccine, according to the CDC website, is the principal cause of polio. Every vaccine actually causes the disease that it's supposedly against. It doesn't prevent it. But the hype and the marketing and the pseudoscience wouldn't make you think that. However, that is, in fact, reality. They are none of them effective against a disease. One placebo-controlled study that has been done of the flu vaccine using a real placebo, not, for instance, pure thimerosal as the control, but a real placebo. That study showed that people who are vaccinated against the flu get the flu almost 500% more than people who don't get the vaccine. And the people who are vaccinated have serious adverse events requiring hospitalization and in some cases death many, many times more than people who are not vaccinated. It's absolute scientific balderdash. Nothing more, nothing less.
I remember seeing, I think it was this that Dr. Oz character, or it might have been, what's that, Piers Corbin or one of those prostitutes over there in the U.S.?
Piers Morgan, I think.
Piers Morgan, that's the one, yeah. And he did, it's like on his TV show, he did, oh, look, I'm going to prove how safe and how vaccines, it doesn't give you the flu when you get the flu shot. And he got it on air. And then like a week later, he's like, he has the flu. Like he just shot himself in the foot and proved that, well, you get the flu from the flu shot, you moron, you know, like, and yet these people still line up and get their kids vaccinated and everyone else vaccinated. And this Dr. Oz guy was questioned if his children were vaccinated. And he said, oh no, my wife, she won't let us vaccinate our children. Alarm bells. Hello. You've got one of your, mouthpieces, corporate mouthpieces, talking up vaccines and everything, and yet he doesn't vaccinate his own kids. Why aren't there alarm bells ringing for everyone in the country over this sort of thing? Doesn't that make people think?
To his credit, I believe that what Dr. Oz was saying is, I'm not so sure that they're a good thing. I'm really not. I think, in fact, they may not be a good thing.
Yeah, I think he's come around a bit, actually. Yeah, you're right.
Yes, he has. And that's actually quite a dangerous position for him to take, and good on him. But the point is that anybody who actually looks at the science sees the same thing. Now, some people look at the science and say, yeah, but my income, my career, and my professional safety depend on my not telling the truth. I won't vaccinate my kids. I won't vaccinate myself, but I'm certainly not going to be honest about it. And shame on them. Those people are despicable. I don't care what position they hold. Now, can we talk about what the average person can do because they already have a completely legally protected vaccine exemption and they don't know it?
Well, you mean in Australia or in America? Or
I mean in Australia. I mean in New Zealand. I mean in Canada. I mean in Austria. I mean in every country that has signed the Geneva Convention, which is 126 countries. And every one of those countries has given the people who live there, they don't even have to be citizens, the people who simply live in those countries, they have been given their inalienable right to say no to any medical procedure under the term informed consent. Now, what most people have forgotten from high school civics, we call it in the United States, I don't know what you call it in Australia, but the course that teaches you about the Constitution and laws and, you know, all that stuff. What most people have forgotten rather completely is that when a nation signs a treaty, the law that that treaty brings the nation to, and that's what a treaty is, it's an agreement of international law. When a country signs a treaty, that nation's law is overridden, superseded, replaced by the treaty law, and the country is required to enforce the law. Unfortunately, it's not required to actually tell people that it's enforcing the law or to tell people what the law is. But any country that is a member of the Geneva Convention, and Australia certainly is, has the obligation to allow people to say yay or nay to any medical intervention that is proposed. And it has to be done, this is in your constitution, you know, it has to be done without pressure, without prejudice, without penalty, which means that it is illegal to force someone to give up a constitutional right, for instance, $16,000 U.S. approximately per child, for a benefit, I'm sorry, it is to give up a benefit and surrender, to gain a benefit and surrender a right in order to gain the benefit. That is called an unconstitutional privilege, and it is forbidden by the Australian legal system. It is forbidden by the U.S. legal system, and most importantly, it is forbidden under the Geneva Convention, which is the law of the land in Australia, which is the law of the land in every one of the 126 signatory countries. Now, as I said, the government doesn't want you to know that. But once you know how to assert the right of informed consent, and you don't have that right unless you assert it, but once you know exactly how to assert it, then it cannot be taken away from you. And that's very, very good news. That means that the parents who do not want to vaccinate, and the adults, because it's coming for adults too, means that the people who do not want to vaccinate have the right under your law and under your constitution to make that choice and to make it stick. Well, very few people know that. The question is, how do you correctly assert your right? Because remember, if you don't assert it, it's waived. And the answer is something that the Natural Solutions Foundation, of which I am the medical director, has created for people who get the reality about vaccines and who do not want them. And that's a wallet-sized card that fits in your purse, your wallet. It fits in your baby's diaper bag. It fits in your kid's book bag. And it says, I refuse all vaccines. And it functions as what's called an advance health directive or a living will. And the law is settled. They must be followed and obeyed unless an individual court hearing has been held and a judge has declared the individual incompetent. Now, that's not the case. You haven't been declared incompetent. You haven't been had your guardianship of your child removed from you because you're not a competent parent. You are a competent parent. Nobody said you weren't. And now you're being told that you have to give up your right to make decisions for your child and allow the state to make those decisions. And you, of course, bear the burden of disaster when something goes wrong. You don't have to do that. If you have this card, then you are legally protected because you are asserting your right in the legally required way. Now, again, this is not just for the United States. This is for every one of the 126 countries that have signed the Geneva Convention. And if you don't want to be vaccinated and you don't use this card, God help you.
So if I can just play devil's advocate for a minute, let me just throw this at you that, say, for example, I agree with the card. I think it's probably one of the best courses of action we can take. Say, for example, you've got the card. You currently are receiving benefits for your children who you have not got vaccinated and you don't wish to get them vaccinated. As of next year, obviously January 2016 here in Australia, that law kicks in where if you're not adhering to the schedule, then you will lose the childcare rebates and family tax benefit A, I believe, is a supplement in the middle of the year there. Now, fair enough, if you say to them, well, I have this card, I can prove that it's breaking the Geneva Convention. It's unethical and unlawful for you guys, for the government, as in you are a representative of the government. Say, for example, you're speaking to someone from, I think it's a Human Services Department, and you say to them, you give them all this information, and yet they say, I'm sorry, that's just the rules. You're losing your payments. So, what course of action does someone take in this position? You're like, there's literally thousands of Australians who will be in that position. They may not necessarily have the card, however, they're in that same position that the rest of us are in. So, what's the course of action?
The course of action. Now, this is where it gets good, Lee. This is where it puts a big smile on your face. You ready to have a big smile on your face?
Hit me with it. Yep.
All right. That person with the syringe saying, I'm just following orders, ma'am. That person is personally liable for malpractice. That person is, under Australian law, personally liable for committing assault and battery. That person is personally liable for removing your legal and civil, removing your civil rights and committing criminal action against you. So if that person persists in threatening you, and the card says, if you violate my wishes, you may be committing a crime. So they are warned, they are duly warned. If that person persists, you have huge legal cause of action, and you may be vaccinated or your child may be vaccinated, but you're going to be a very rich person.
Yeah, I understand and I get that. I think that's very true. That's obviously the way things would probably go down if that was the case. But I guess I'm just taking a step back. I think I'm sort of talking about from the position that, I'm going to just throw a hypothetical here. I'm a young mom. I've got two kids already in school. Oh, sorry, in daycare at the moment. They've got another year of daycare before they start school. Comes the next year, the daycare says to me, are your kids up to date with their schedule? And you say, no, oh, we're not getting vaccines. They say, well, I'm sorry, we can't have them here anymore unless they're vaccinated. And you, and then obviously, you know, the you either have to take them out of the daycare or we're really left with no recourse because you don't want to get them vaccinated. That's never an option in my point of view that you're not going to get them vaccinated. So then no one's actually going to force a needle into these kids of yours because you're going to stop that no matter what. But I still believe that the government's going to take the position. They're basically going to ignore it as much as they can and think that they're probably that we're going to go away with this and never come back sort of thing. You know what I mean? Well, like they're going to just ignore our wishes.
We need some law firms, Lee. Don't we need some law firms?
We do. I'm thinking, I'm talking like class action kind of stuff here is what would need be needed to make people shut up and listen.
Yeah, some big law firms to step up with us. Yeah, and
they're
going to
go ahead and do it anyway. They're going to cut your benefits. And they're going to say, well, too bad, that's the law as it is now. We're saying, we're sitting here going, well, sorry, no, it's not. You know, you're breaking these rules and laws and our wishes. How can you get away with this? You know, and like I think a class action is the way to go.
They're bringing in these laws through lies, and that's the thing that gets me because I was just watching the other morning with that Koshy clown on Channel 7. I think it's one of those sunrise or, you know, those breakfast morning shows.
Yeah,
he's sitting up there. They don't even debate anymore. They got him, they got another clown, and they got a clown from the Murdoch papers, and they're just saying, and this guy's actually saying on morning breakfast show to millions of people that unvaccinated children are spreading disease in the community and they are a threat. And I'm just thinking, Dr. Rima, where's the proof? They don't show any proof, so how can they just keep getting away and lying? There must be avenues here, Lee, legally that we can take if we get some good law firms on side with us to stop, at least if we could start by stopping the media from lying, because this is absolute. How are they allowed to get away with these lies and not show any backup evidence to prove
it? In Australia? Do you have laws in Australia that prevent the media from lying?
No, I don't think so. Yeah, I think in the US it's been proven now that the media is allowed by law to lie. So there was a case, I think even Mick Raven on Conspiracy Oz talks about that as well, how I think it was about 2 years ago, it was Fox News, it was someone versus Fox News, and Fox News, they ruled in favor of Fox, I'm pretty sure, to say that the media doesn't have to tell the truth, was the way the ruling was, therefore they're allowed to lie. I don't think it's ever been challenged here in Australia, but look, it wouldn't surprise me because they do it anyway.
yeah.
You know what I mean?
There's no debates either.
I'm quite certain that the media is not held to a probity requirement for truth, because otherwise the media couldn't exist as it stands. So let's assume that the media is, of course, going to lie. Let's assume that the media's stock in trade is corporate crony government preferred lies. Okay? We understand that. But we know that the media, the formal conventional media, is rapidly losing its place of prominence because people don't trust it any longer. They've lied so often in so many areas that so many people are aware of that the media is no longer the only source of truth. And indeed, it is a source of highly questioned truth. And that's a good thing, because the media is, in fact, nothing but a corporate prostitute for organization. And I mean no disrespect to sex workers there. So what we have here is the requirement for good lawyers who will stand with us. Perhaps they're the parents who themselves are threatened. I wouldn't be surprised if that would motivate some good lawyers and law firms. Perhaps what they're will be motivated by is high awards and therefore massive compensation in class actions, because the concept, and this is enshrined in common law and being trampled by your government, by my government, by many governments, the concept is where there is risk, there must be choice. Now, the United States Supreme Court, which of course doesn't hold in Australia, but it makes the point, I think, the United States Supreme Court has held repeatedly that vaccines are an uninsurable risk. They are so risky, in fact, that the underwriting industry of the world refuses to underwrite them and calls them an uninsurable industry. There's one other uninsurable industry on the planet. Do you know what it is?
Oh, I think I've heard you say it before, but I can't recall. What is it?
It's the nuclear industry.
Nuclear, right.
It's the only other equally dangerous industry on the planet. Now, where there is risk, there must be choice. That's enshrined in your law. Where there is medical intervention offered, there must be, by treaty law, which supersedes national law, there must be informed consent. Now, I want to make something clear. Informed consent, which we've been studying very heavily, obviously, informed consent can be, because you've studied the science carefully, informed consent can be because the little men from Mars are whispering in your ears and they're telling you that if you allow the syringe into your arm, you will turn into a toad. It doesn't matter whether your reasons are valid or well-informed or scientifically shaped. Whatever your reason is, religious, personal, otherwise, if you say no, you have the right to say no without punishment, prejudice, pressure, or coercion. It's in your constitution. Now, lawmakers frequently pass illegal laws. They do it all the time. Unlawful laws. Well, the government of Australia has passed a series of unlawful laws, and they must be brought to the courts, and they must be challenged, and they must be overturned. And the prostitutes will whinge and scream and flail about. Well, so what? The fact is that every single person in Australia, in New Zealand, in the United States, etc., already has a legally enforceable and legally valid vaccine exemption. If you don't use it, parents, if you don't use it, adults who are being told that you have to be vaccinated in order to keep your job, etc., if you don't use it, shame on you.
Let me tell you
where to get the card. May I?
And yeah, then, please, yeah.
Okay. And there is a special code, which I would like Adam to give us, because Adam is doing fabulous work with the CRAS files. And so we have offered that if people use the code that Adam is going to give you when you check out for the card at the link that I'm going to share with you in a moment, insert that code where a coupon would go, and Adam's work will receive 10% of the price of all of the cards that people purchase to secure this exemption for themselves using his code. You go to www.drrima.com, and the link is right there. Or you can go to our special tiny URL, which is tinyurl.com/AVD card. That stands for Advance Vaccine Directive Card, AVD card. And Adam, can you give us the code that people must enter to support your outstanding work?
Don't have it on me at the moment, but I'll dig that up.
All right. Can you do that while we're talking?
Try to. I think I've got a new code.
Why would you have a new code?
I was given a separate code, I'm pretty sure, but I'll just have to check.
Okay. Because I'm the one who creates the codes. I decide who I think is doing really wonderful work, and then I offer them this support so that when they share it with their supporters, we are strengthening our community of freedom. And so I don't remember doing a separate code, but maybe I did. So
I'm going to have to put a widget up and get on board with that because, yeah, there's plenty of traffic coming through my site at the moment. So
yeah,
it's going to be good to share that as well. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Let me make the point that most people, we predict, will not be vaccinated because of this. Some will be, and they are going to have major causes of legal action because it's been settled and established that if a doctor, nurse, EMT, whomever, violates a legally stated living will, which is what this is, or advance medical directive, they are committing a series of crimes. This is not new law. This is established law. And there's no way around this.
Tracking back there, Dr. Rima, my unique code is 200/AC.
200/AC.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, when people enter that,
or
and of course,
space bar.
When people enter that, and of course, Lee, I will be very happy to provide you with one also. When people enter that, then the support goes to you, in this case, Adam, or Lee, you will receive the support when people use your code. And there's no competition here. There's enough to go around.
Yeah, and I think I'll pick up a couple of those myself, and I'll throw in your code, Adam. That way, I've, you know, sort of got one for the kids as well. And that way I can, you know, take a few photos and put them up and get people to sort of get on board and take a few photos and say, look, here, I've got mine, jump on board, here's how you get yours, and yeah, try and do it that way. It'd be good to sort of market it a little bit and get it out there.
Good Facebook community started up, Lee, now, which are just caught on like fire. I was just talking to Dr. Rimmer when, you know, you remember back to the ridiculous propaganda piece of Claire Harvey calling people terrorists. You remember that when we intervened, and Dr. Rimmer remembers all the trolls on there, how vicious they were against us. And it was sort of things happening on Facebook, but since we got involved, it's steamrolled, and we got the no jab marches now, and now there's all these community pages on Facebook. I'll mention them before we go and put the links up accompanying this, but whole communities are getting on board now, Lee, because I think they were a little bit scared to have a voice before in regards to vaccines, and now because so many people are joining in Australia, it's creating this huge... I think they've opened Pandora's box, and I also think that the media are shooting themselves in the foot and humiliating themselves, because anyone with half a brain has to look at these media coverage in Australia and laugh. I mean, you really do. It's so pathetic.
There's an air of solidarity on our front. There really is, and you can see it.
Can feel it.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I agree completely. And I mean, I just threw a link up there in the chat. I just wanted to quickly put this up and get this out there, and urge people to sign it. And I'm not massive on petitions and so forth, but I reckon this one's probably one of the ones with a way to go. It's through change.org, and it's called Transparency Challenge and Vaccine Confidence, Australian Government and Decision Makers. So basically, it's got here, I won't read the whole thing, but I'll just read a couple little paragraphs here. It says, we, the undersigned, regardless of our personal stance on vaccination, do not believe that any leader or decision maker in control of their full intellectual capacity and understanding could read, nor have they read, all recent submissions made to Parliament, including the anecdotal, legal and scientific research, and subsequently agree to passing the no jab, no pay law with full confidence. So what they're saying is, all of our leaders have just not read any of the submissions, not given any insight or any consideration to the information put forward by the, let's call it the anti-vax lobby, so to speak. They've not written anything, nor could they have had enough time to read it and go through it all. However, they've passed this law and signed on board no matter what. So what this petition is about is what they're asking for is all of the politicians who have signed this law into place and anyone who went into the decision-making part of it must get and document and make through full transparency through video and everything else, they must take every single vaccine on the schedule themselves and document every single thing along the way, all adverse reactions, blah, 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 everything to do with it. So this that's what this petition is about. It's trying to get people on board to say, well, look, if you reckon it's good enough for us, then you go ahead and have every single jab on that list and document everything that's got everything that happens to you. And if it's proven 100% safe and effective for you, then they're like, well, you know what? Then we'll talk about it some more. So it's a really good petition. I do urge people to go on and have a read that. I'll throw that up on the Facebook page, on Real News Australia Facebook page, for people to jump on board. I've shared it on there already, but I think it's probably worthwhile putting up again. I signed it yesterday, and it had about 300 odd signatures out of 1,500. Now it's up to 1,300 signatures, so it's going quite well. It needs less than 200 more to reach its goal, so it's done quite well.
Got to get people to wake up here, Lee, because I think there's some really dark players in this, because I was just telling Dr. Reamer about before, I wrote a story called Fluvax, an Australian horror story. Goes back, as you remember, to 2010 when the girl from Western Australia, Saba Button, she suffered brain damage and organ damage.
Yeah,
after getting the Fluvax shot. And so she's now suffered severe brain damage and has left her quadriplegic, and she's having constant seizures. There was so many children being admitted to hospitals all around the place, having seizures, vomiting, all sorts of stuff. And you remember, I was discussing it with Dr. Reamer, that they banned, or they said they were going to ban the Fluvax for all
the
children.
The follow-on was they kept using it, weren't they?
Yeah, but, I mean, I was saying to Dr. Reamer, that was on InfoWars. It went all around the world. Australian government bans Fluvax. And then the next day, I mean, hours later, they came out and said, no, we're not going to ban it, but we're going to ban it for children under five. So if it's not safe for children, you know, over five or under five, what's going on here? It doesn't make any sense. But I wrote in this story that the Fluvax, that particular vaccine that's causing brain damage, is still being used today, and doctors are even taking the labels off it. And then we look at when Tony Abbott, our former Prime Minister, was in power. You remember, Lee, when the Claire Harvey article came out calling people killers and terrorists because they don't vaccinate. That was just before these new law changes came in. And the Murdoch paper was viciously trying to lobby the government on vaccines because, as we know, Tony Abbott didn't vaccinate his own daughters with the Gardasil. And
yeah,
God
he
knows
sort of
what
took that position like he wasn't fully sold on it.
He knew, but Tony Abbott's from around my area. He's a pretty fit guy. He looks like he looks after himself, and I'd be wondering if he even vaccinates at all. And he wouldn't move on it. But as we spoke to former MP Jason Woodforth, he said he's never seen a bill pass so quick. So really, overnight, they passed these new no-jab laws. And so there was pressure behind the government. This is something else going on here, you know what I mean? Same with the Fluvax.
They
banned it, and then someone stepped in and said, no, you don't. You know what I mean? Yeah. So what's going on here, and who's really controlling our government?
You're right. There's another agenda at play here. And like I said before, with the submissions from the anti-vax lobby, they were sidelined. No one even, I guarantee you, none of these politicians in power picked up any of those or any of the information garnered by our side of the fence and even looked at it. They just went, we'll give you some time to submit some inquiries and, you know, some other things, blah, blah, blah. Okay, that's enough time. Law's passed. Done. You know what I mean? Like, it was, they gave us our say, and a few of us thought, you know, we feel good for that because, you know, they gave us our say. However, they never actually were intending to listen in the first place.
It's amazing, too, how quick it came through, because why weren't unvaccinated kids a threat 5 or 10 years ago? I mean, everyone's, all these people are now, as I said, even on these morning breakfast shows, they are saying that, you know, your unvaccinated children are a threat to our vaccinated children. If your children are vaccinated, what's the problem? Don't have any faith in the vaccines that they're getting, but, you know, this is the fear campaign. But why now, Lee? Why do you think in 2015 that they've rushed through these laws when they never did it before? I mean, unvaccinated children and vaccinated children in Australia have always played together. We've never had a problem. So it really, you know, that's why I brought in when we've near the start here that they've got all these hundreds of new vaccines in the pipeline. There seems to be a connection going on here, you know?
There is. That's a great question, Adam, and that's one look, when I'm out working during the day, I actually ponder that myself. I think, why now? Why is there this massive rush? There's so many things happening right now. I don't know. Maybe that's part of it. There's a lot of distractions happening with ISIS and all this other stuff.
Exactly.
And
I can tell you exactly
in light, please, Dr. Emma, share.
the issue is not whooping cough. The issue is not measles. The issue is not mumps. The issue is not even the obscene profits from the direct vaccinations and the downstream profits, which are incalculably huge from all the diseases that are created. The issue is that the Agenda 2030, which used to be called Agenda 2050, they just lopped 20 years off the timeline.
Sped up the timeline, yes.
Agenda 2050 or 2030, which is Agenda 21 on steroids, calls for massive population reduction and absolute control of the remaining population. Now, the World Health Organization, which is controlled entirely by the pharmaceutical industry, especially through the Gates Foundation, but 70% of its money comes from the pharmaceutical industry, and just about the same amount as its operating budget. The operating budget is $4 billion a year. $3 billion a year comes directly from the Gates Foundation, which essentially now runs the World Health Organization. Gates is an avowed and documented depopulationist. The entire agenda of which I've been speaking, call it Agenda 21 or call it Agenda 2030, it's the same, calls for guidelines for depopulation. Now, vaccines like Gardasil are infertility vaccines. There are a whole host of consequences. I was starting to say that the World Health Organization stated that for the first time in modern history, children born after the year 2000 or in or after the year 2000 will statistically live shorter lives than their parents. And they also stated that for children born in that time frame, that is children born in or after 2000, by the time they reach the age of 18, and I hope you have your seatbelts on because you're going to fall out of your chair when you hear this. Children born in 2000 or thereafter, by the time they reach the age of 18, have a 50% chance of either having died from pediatric cancer or having survived pediatric cancer. One child in two is anticipated to have cancer, and among those, a significant number will perish from the cancer. The cancer is induced by and aided by the weakening of the immune system, and we believe the introduction of Nagalase, which turns off the immune system through the vaccines. Nagalase also helps to create autism and the autoimmune diseases and a whole lot of other terrible things. So the vaccines have to be given to everybody in order to render them ill, which is profitable in an immensely obscene way, and more importantly, to render them infertile and to render them dead. They have a schedule and they're behind schedule. So the mandatory vaccination program, whether it's through the Global Strategic Health Initiative or whether it's through these new laws like the No Jab, No Pay law in California's SB 722 and 972, whether it's those laws or whether it's other measures like the Senate Bill 1203 in the United States Senate, which mandates that every veteran receive all the scheduled vaccines, currently 90, but soon to be 500. These actions are being taken to get back on schedule for depopulation and to make the population so weak and so ill that they will not be able to effectively protest the loss of their private property, their personal liberty, and their autonomy. That's the underlying agenda.
Generational too, Lee. It's,
yeah, that's
it's
right.
It's not overnight.
Yeah.
It's people need to, they say, I'm fine now, but it's through generations this is being, we're being bred out, basically.
Yeah,
yes,
that is
absolutely. And I forgot to mention something, and that is that our DNA.
I was about to say the DNA factor.
Exactly. Our DNA is being reprogrammed to our detriment through these vaccines. It's more than generational. It's transhuman.
So, Dr. Rima, and I'll get your opinion on this, Lee. I've put a lot up these just because I find it incredible and a little bit frightening having a newborn. Lee, the pertussis epidemic. It's hard to say if there really is one. I'll get doctor's opinion on that, Dr. Rima's opinion on that, or they're just trying to scare people to keep getting the vaccines. But I have an article here from CNN, and the CDC, as you know, Dr. Rima, came out and said the flu shot didn't work, but they call it less effective. But they're saying because the current virus has mutated. And they're talking about here, Lee, like they're indicating mutation or a drift of the strain. So they're saying that the flu shot's not working because the flus are mutating. And so I wanted to get Dr. Rima's opinion on why they're mutating, and is it because people are getting vaccinated that that's happening? But also, this is similar to the pertussis, and I put up a very popular article on Facebook from the CDC, as Dr. Rima calls it, the Center for Disease Creation, the CDC website. It was a massive study you've read, Lee, done in Israel.
And it I did read that, yeah.
It was pertussis infection in fully vaccinated children in daycare centers in Israel. It's a big study to go through. I can put up again, but the conclusions here, Dr. Rima, as I quote here, it says, the effects of whole cell pertussis vaccine wane after only 5 years, even less, and the infection in the vaccinated person causes non-specific symptoms. Vaccinated adolescents and adults may serve as reservoirs for silent infection and become potential transmitters to unprotected infants. The whole cell vaccine for pertussis is protective only against clinical disease, not against infection. Therefore, even young, recently vaccinated children may serve as reservoirs and potential transmitters of this infection. So, Dr. Rima, explain this a little bit. What's going on here?
What's going on is the same thing that's going on with every other vaccine. If it's a virus disease, a viral disease, the vaccine can transmit the disease directly because the organism goes through an incubation chamber called the human being. Every virus that is given in a vaccine is subject to mutation. Every single one. Well, how can that be? Viruses meet and greet and exchange DNA the same way bacteria do. And that's what leads to the mutation. That is the mutation. Now, when that happens, the infectivity of that virus changes. It can change so that it can no longer create a disease, or so that it can create a plague. The changes are quite random, but in the same way that the DNA of the virus is changed, the virus changes the DNA of the human being in which it is. That cannot be overstated. It is so important. So what we have is viruses in an immune system environment that can't fight them off because it's been weakened by the vaccines. And so it changes and it replicates and it recombines with other viruses as well as mutating on its own. So you have an uncontrolled experiment in human beings. Every single virus that is given in a vaccine has the capacity to cause low symptom disease, just as the pertussis was identified as doing. It has the potential of causing high symptom disease, and it has the potential of causing unmitigated disaster. But it will mutate. It always mutates. And that mutation, to be stimulated on an experimental basis, which is what every vaccine is completely insane. With bacterial vaccines like the whooping cough, the situation is a little bit different. If it's a weakened organism, then it too can mutate and become actively infective. If, on the other hand, it is just the protein of the organism, just part of the surface protein to get the antibodies to be produced, then what you get, first of all, is an inflammatory response, and that can be devastating. It can cause diabetes, you can get sudden infant death, etc. And yes, infants can have diabetes on the basis of autoimmune disease or autoimmune condition precipitated by the vaccination. Many babies who die from sudden infant death or cot death are actually dying from the autoimmune consequences of the vaccines. So what we're talking about is creating subclinical or superclinical diseases and creating mutations and then creating infectivity. I urge people who want to be vaccinated, which I think is an idiotic choice, but hey, you know, it's their right. I urge people who want to be vaccinated to have the decency and courtesy to shelter themselves in quarantine, voluntary quarantine, for a minimum of 21 days. They may be infective for as long as 30 years or longer, like the poor guy who got a polio virus, a polio vaccine when he was a kid, and he still to this day, 30 years later, is shedding active, infective viruses. There is no logic. You do not prevent disease by injecting pus and poison. Hello. There is no logic. The entire science of virology, the entire vaccine component of immunology and virology is based in lies, and the lies just keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger. People say to me, go ahead.
I was going to say, I mean, of all we know about viruses and causes of infection, and our immune responses to these things, how hard is it to ignore the science? I mean, I think I'm not sure who you had on your show, Adam. I don't think it was Dr. Rima that was on this day. It was another day, another guest you had on. We talking about your immune response, your T1 and your T2 immune responses, which obviously a vaccine given to you bypasses your body's initial responses. Initial immune responses to an infection, and these things are going, like you know, Dr. Rima says, straight in, you know, proteins, foreign proteins, straight into your bloodstream, which your body doesn't know how to handle because it's bypassing that initial immune response. Do you remember who that was? I can't remember who you had on the show that was talking about that. Smallwood, was it named?
Maybe Sophia Smallstorm.
Sophia Smallstorm, I think it was. She was talking about that, yeah. But I mean, of all this information we know about this, Dr. Rima, how can they ignore these facts? How can they go ahead and say, oh, we know that this is how the immune system responds, but we're going to go ahead and ignore that anyway, and we're going to still inject you with a vaccine? How can they do that?
When government tells you that peace is war and tells you that it's glorious to go off and die for corporations because it's really pro patria mori, how could they ignore the reality? Well, it's because we're working on a different premise than they are. We are looking for truth, and we are looking for logic and for rational behavior. Their agenda, their endpoint, is anything but that. They are willing to lie, to deceive, and in the case of vaccines and war, which are very similar because vaccines are part of a war on you and me and our DNA and our future and our children. In war, you have to whip up the loyal fervor of your people or they won't go to war. You have to whip up the loyal fervor of your troops or they won't do what you want them to. You have to whip up the loyal fervor of the people who actually present their own bodies to be maimed and possibly killed, and more important, present their precious children to be maimed and possibly killed for someone else's agenda. These people have communication skills that are based in manipulating lies to get the outcome that they want. It has nothing to do with truth. And frankly, the change.org petition is, you know, emotionally appealing, but it's ridiculous. Of course the members of parliament didn't read the document that they signed. Of course the members of parliament have no interest in what happens when a vaccine is given. And of course the members of parliament never considered taking these things for themselves. Absolutely. So it's a public relations activity, and I think people should sign it. But in terms of actually changing anything, that's not the way to do it.
Indeed, yeah. It's more about waking people up, I believe, that one. Just to highlight the point.
And that's a good thing. There's nothing wrong with that kind of public relations ploy. But if anybody thinks it's going to actually change anything, it won't. So the issue is, what will change something? In my mind, the most effective thing that you can do is use the three most powerful words that an activist has available to him or her. And those three words are, don't you dare. And the consequences have to be real. If I say to you, Lee, or you, Adam, don't you dare publish such and such an article. Well, you know, I've made my point by saying I don't like this. But if I'm serious about it, I have to have something that follows from my injunction. Don't you dare, or I will expose your source. You know, you got this from the Murdoch papers or whatever. You know, you understand?
Yep.
There has to be a tooth in the don't you dare. And that's why we say that the vaccine vaccine directive card is something with very sharp teeth and a very strong jaw that can clench on the person who vaccinates. Understand, that's the weak link in the system. You come at me with a syringe and I say to you, if you vaccinate me after I have expressed this legal right, then you are committing a crime and you are liable for malpractice, assault, battery, removing my civil rights, and violating my constitutional rights. Go ahead, vaccinate me.
Hmm. What are your thoughts on, I'm not sure if you've heard Adam's show with a lady by the name of Anita Whitney with regards to the whole legal avenue with regards to vaccinations, how they're these laws are written for a legal person, not actually written for a flesh and blood human being. Have you
straw
looked
man.
At this avenue? Yeah, they're written for the straw man. They're not actually written for an individual
for
human
your birth
being.
Certificate, yeah.
Yeah. Have you been exposed to this this writing at all from Anita or Adam's show from that one?
I have not, but I do know something a bit about the difference between a natural person and a straw person, a straw man person. And I think that this is another approach. Now, we shouldn't be parochial. We shouldn't say, well, this is the only approach that works. This is the only approach that we need. No, we need all of the approaches.
Multiple fronts.
Absolutely. When I treat a patient with cancer, treat the immune system of a patient with cancer, because not being an oncologist, if I say that I treat people with cancer, I will lose my license in a heartbeat. So I don't treat people with cancer. I treat their immune systems, and if a perfectly good cancer gets lost, it's not my fault. Anyway, when I treat the immune system of a person with cancer, hoping that a perfectly good cancer will get lost, I use not just vitamin C, not just DMSO, not just CBD, not just selenium, not just poly-MVA, etc. I use them all. And why do I use them all? Because we don't know enough about the science of cancer treatment to know which one will work for this person.
Yeah, we're all individuals, aren't we? It's not even... Yeah, there's no Band-Aid fix, and that's what I think they're trying to pull off with these vaccines, that they treat it like it's a Band-Aid, one size fits all, and it's not. Some people might never get sick or might never have any adverse reactions to a shot, but the next kid next to you, next to your daughter, Adam, is the one that gets killed or maimed.
That's the thing, Lee. Yeah, you don't know.
So you can't
take
a gamble, can you?
You don't know how the child's going to react.
I have to disagree with you. May I? Do you mind if I disagree
with you?
Okay, every single person who is vaccinated has adverse events. The adverse events may be what is referred to in medicine as subclinical. That is to say that they don't easily or quickly show.
Gotcha.
However, if you are vaccinated with the MMR at the age of 4, and when you're 30, you develop stomach or breast or prostate cancer or brain cancer, because people who are vaccinated against measles have a higher rate of cancer in their 30s and 40s than people whose immune systems were allowed to confront the virus and successfully tune the immune system. Is that an adverse event? Well, yes, it is, but how do you label it as such? How do you identify it as such? According to Dr. Andrew Molden, who died under highly suspicious circumstances, I believe because he was correct, every vaccination results in microstrokes and sometimes macrostrokes in the brain. And he said, and I believe him, that you could look at any child and determine whether they had been vaccinated by the asymmetry and the stroke markers in the face and body. Now, let's assume for a moment that that's true. That means that there is no such thing as a person who has no adverse events. There are people who have subclinical or unrecognized adverse events. If that is true, and I believe it to be true, then why would you knowingly permit yourself or your child to be exposed to an inevitable adverse event, which the Supreme Court of the United States says is unavoidably unsafe? And if that is true, and it is an uninsurable risk, what kind of parent in their right mind says, okay, I want you to go out onto the firing range, my dear, and I want you to stand there while people are firing, and maybe you won't get hit by one of the bullets?
It's a good analogy. It's very true. Yeah, no, I see your point, Dr. Ian. Yeah, just because you don't see something happen straight away, that it doesn't mean it'll never happen. It is happening. That's right.
It is happening. Every single person, adult or otherwise, who is vaccinated experiences changes that damage the immune system. Let's just start with that one.
Yeah, and there's always a degree of encephalopathy too, isn't there? Like, there's always brain inflammations and fevers and... Yeah, but these are just minor, and you know, you should still get
infections. They're not minor.
You've got to vaccinate. It's nothing.
They're written off as nothing.
Yeah,
they're
that's
not
right.
Nothing. They are significant, and they are unknown in their full consequences, because I assure you the research money to find out exactly what the real consequences of vaccination might be will never be committed.
No, and that's what gets me angry, because you see these massive organizations, Adam, like, you know, the SIDS thing, you know, Red Nose Day and all this sort of stuff, doesn't it? It actually, now that I know and I've got a lot more information on board, it actually sickens me when I see these campaigns going, because they're not looking for what's actually happening. They're not, they know, I think they actually do know, or some of them will just brush their hands of it and they don't want to know that it's the vaccines that are causing SIDS, because it's extremely rare that an unvaccinated child will just pass away in their sleep overnight. You know, it's there's always something, you know. I mean, I've watched babies, you know, cuddle into a blanket and have it half over their face and nothing happens to them. They still know, they can still breathe. Yeah. They're still fine. It's always something to do with, you know, they've had the shots the day before or the week before, or, you know, that's okay. Little Johnny will be fine. He's just got a bit of a temperature. Just give him some Panadol and he'll wake up in the morning. Well, you know, there's so many kids nowadays that aren't waking up in the morning and they're blaming, oh, it was just SIDS. Well, obviously it's not SIDS. We know what's causing this thing, but these organizations that run these charities and fundraising and all this money pouring into this so-called research that isn't doing anything. When we can sit here ourselves and Dr. Rima can speak to them individually and say, we know what's causing it. This is what's causing it. Here's the proof of what's causing it. Stop trying to raise money to fund research and pay your own CEO wages. And look at the actual evidence.
Well, they know how to manipulate.
They
know how to manipulate, and they know how to pull the heartstrings, Lee, because when they have these red nose days, you know, they also make clowns out of people.
That's right.
They make all these people shave their heads and wear red noses to look like a clown, so you humiliate yourself. And the problem just compounds and gets worse and worse. But if you say anything or question anything about these red nose days and all this stuff, then you're just insensitive. That's how they get you.
It'd be interesting to know how much money these people are actually spending on administration of the actual thing and how much
criminals.
Money's
They've already been busted. They've
yeah.
already been busted.
There's so many of them that
yeah.
are. Yeah.
yeah, you're scamming people's money. All of them do it.
I want to point out to people who are listening to this podcast that the Natural Solutions Foundation has a 3.5-hour webinar on sudden infant death syndrome called The Vaccine Hoax. If you put in my name, Rima E. Labo, LAIBOWMD, or just Dr. Rima, DRRIMA, and put in sudden infant death or vaccine hoax, you will find the access. As a matter of fact, Adam, I will look up the link and you can put it on the podcast. This is a very important webinar. It's 3.5 hours of world-class scientists, including Vera Scheibner and Dr. Michael Innes and many others. It also has a well-referenced extensive ebook and a special ebook which is for parents, prosecutors, and police in the event of a supposed shaken baby event. This will, we believe, help to keep parents out of jail, babysitters, grandmothers out of jail when the baby has been harmed or potentially killed by the doctor, nurse, or paramedic who vaccinated the baby. So this is of enormous importance. And by the way, we have another webinar that is about the intentional use of vaccines to create high-functioning autistic workers for the mega corporations. And they are, this is another 3.5-hour, very, very highly referenced, very powerful documentary and document that gives people the information about exactly what is intended to happen to their children's cognitive and behavioral capacities through these finely tuned poisons called vaccines. And there is a 16-hour podcast e-resource book, which you can access for free by entering your email information at tinyurl.com/Mayday marathon. This is a May Day emergency. tinyurl.com/May Day Marathon. That's yours, and I think you'll find a compendium of vaccine truth like no other.
Well, I don't think the trolls and pro-vaxxers will accept that, Lee, will they?
No,
but
no.
They'll sit down and read those ridiculous articles in the from Claire Harvey.
They'll put 1,000 links in for a Murdoch paper, but they won't put any scientific evidence in.
You just take into account what Dr. Rima just mentioned. And, you know, that astounding amount of information. I mean, hundreds of hours of stuff. And it's just, no, I'm not gonna listen. But people can also get up our pretty amazing talk with former police officer Chris Savage.
Savage, yeah.
He blew the lid on these vaccine crimes because he investigated households where kids supposedly died of shaken baby syndrome, and he knew that they were vaccine injuries. And,
yeah, that's right.
And this is one of our faculty for the Vaccine Truth Marathon, and also for the SIDS Shaken Baby Vaccine Hoax
webinar.
We think these are very, very important, and we think that the e-books are equally important, so that people have the references, they have the scientific basis. Even if they choose not to read it, that's fine, but it's there. And they can move forward with confidence, because parents say, and this is perfectly reasonable, they say, but what if I don't vaccinate and something happens? And the answer to that is, what if you do vaccinate and something happens?
Exactly.
Yeah. The thing is, all these parents worry about, you know, the kids getting measles or getting whooping cough. And yes, of course, it's going to be a traumatic time, and, you know, you're going to wonder if they're going to pull through. And look, the chances are that they are, of course, going to pull through, because these diseases don't actually, they rarely kill a child. And I'm sure you can back me up on that, Dr. Ema, but what they're doing is, if they actually catch these diseases in a natural form, the body's probably going to learn how to become immunized against them and develop that natural immunity against these diseases, you know, for lifelong things as well. And I don't understand that this whole fear campaign that's been put underway, especially by Murdoch and stuff in all these papers, that, you know, they've got parents and these young mums in such a tiz because they're worried that the kid's going to get, oh, they might get rubella, or they might get measles, or, you know, or the flu, and, oh my God, that they could die from the flu. You know what I mean? Like, wait a minute. If you feed your children a proper diet and look after them, they're going to pull through. Yeah, they might be sick for a couple of days, but who cares? I'd rather get the flu than give me the flu shot, for crying out loud. You know, I don't understand the mentality behind it. It just does my head in.
You make a very poor depopulationist.
Come on, Lee.
Sorry.
Lee, get with it.
Sorry. Yeah, there's too many of us. Actually, just as you were talking before, I was actually looking up on the Australian Bureau of Statistics website the birth rate and the death rate and in Australia, and people are talking about overpopulation. There's too many people, and you look at it. I mean, when you think about it, you actually need the birth rate. It needs to be something like 2.2, because it needs to obviously take into account that obviously male children that are born can't have kids themselves. They need female children to populate, and they've got to take into consideration that some might die and in unforeseen circumstances. So the birth rate has to be at 2.2 to maintain a level degree of population, and ours is nowhere near that. It falls well under. So immigration is another way that they try and bring people on board to keep the population going in the country, to make it seem like we're all very busy, and they force everyone into the population centers. You know, it makes us look like the whole country is jam-packed full of people, when there's so much space and so much room for everyone to live harmoniously, yet just very poorly managed, you know.
There is a very, very interesting site that I would recommend called Overpopulation is a Myth.
I think I've seen this.
Let me make sure that I have that correctly. Let me open up something here.
In the United States.
Okay. Overpopulation is a myth. I will check that out right now. Whoops. Okay.
Just while you're checking that, I'll just before, obviously before we go, there is one more thing I want to mention too. So just with regards to that, that latest article I put up, Adam, if we can just go over that after this, if it's all right.
Yes.
Yep, cool. So, is that the right website, Dr. Amy? Have you got it up there?
It's very interesting. I used to believe that overpopulation was a real thing. And, in fact, when I was a starving student, and I was, I would give $1 a month to zero population growth and to Greenpeace. And it literally meant that I didn't eat some days. I now understand that the entire myth of overpopulation was created by John D. Rockefeller Jr. as part of his depopulation long-term plan. And that when you actually look at the statistics, as you were talking about the birth rate and so on, when you carefully examine it, you will discover that it's total poppycock. Total poppycock. There is no overpopulation. What there is under-willingness to make resources available.
That's correct, yeah. It's resource management, and it's being mismanaged intentionally, I believe.
Exactly.
Yep. You're 100% right, yeah.
Yep.
You know, this all ties into vaccines as well because, you know, they're selling us the lie that we're overpopulating, and this is getting people to acquiesce to the idea that, oh, look, even if people are passing away due to, you know, like what Bill Gates said, you know, we can fix the global population with vaccines, you know. people are applauding these ideas, you know. They're just lambs to the slaughter in my point of view.
One funny thing, Lee, I was just watching on the news about 2 weeks ago. I don't have it in front of me, so I'm just guessing. But it was just saying that there was going to be something like a It was definitely over, it was around $125 billion maybe, blowout by 2025 in Australia because of the welfare system, obviously because of an ageing population and everything like that. And so the government are going to have this massive blowout of this type of system. And I was thinking, you know, maybe the no-jab rules are just part of the crackdown on welfare payments because I think it's going to get tougher and tougher in Australia to get any kind of payouts if this type of blowout is on the horizon. That was on the news the other night. I was watching it, it was in over $100 billion blowout because of our welfare payouts in Australia that they're not going to have by 2025. And I'm thinking we're going to start seeing cutbacks here all around the park. This could be just they're using the no jab thing to get rid of people who don't vaccinate. That saves them money, and then they're going to sort of start cutting down from there as well. So that's something to look at as well.
Yeah, I guarantee you we're not seeing the whole picture here, mate, for sure. There's a lot of things we're missing, definitely. So that's a good thing to try and keep an eye out for, is to try and find these other missing connections here. But, I mean, look, they're already talking about trying to, you know, they're floating the idea of raising the GST to 15% here in Australia, you know what I mean? So they keep talking about this and they keep putting it in the media, and before you know it, we'll be sold on this idea that we need it because, you know, like you said, all of us, you know, we're all on welfare, we need to start cutting back, and before you know it, we'll have 15% GST, we'll have no benefits for people who aren't vaccinating, we'll have no benefits for people who are... Like I said in my article here, Dr. Emer, I've just shared it with you now in the chat there. There's going to be even adults are now starting to fall under this, under these laws here in Australia. So I've just put this up now. It's been going viral just recently in the last couple of days.
I don't think I sent this to Dr. Emer Lee, so go over it.
Okay.
Yeah,
I will, Dr. Emer, if you don't mind. Yeah, this has actually hit a nerve here in this country. It's had over 7,000 likes on Facebook, so it's gone massive at the moment. This is one I put together a few days back on November 27th. I published this one, and it's called Shocking Adults Now Fall Under the No Jab, No Pay Vaccine Law. In a shocking turn of events, the Australian government has amends laws to now include young adults. So legislators have done just what many in the alternative media have been predicting would happen for some time. That's right. Young children are now adults vaccinations in order to receive family tax benefits and payments. The new no-jab, no-pay laws, which is the social services legislation amendment, have passed and will commence as of January 2016, as we mentioned before, guys. This law was originally promoted and put in place to cease financial benefits to parents of children up to and including ages of 7 who aren't complying with the immunization schedule. There's a link to that one there, set out by the Australian government. So that was how it was touted, and I remember seeing things in the news. There was articles, there was radio news bits talking about this, Adam, here in the country, saying, you know, if you up to the age of 7, if your children are vaccinated, then you'll lose assistance with childcare or, you know, whatever it may be, and that family tax benefit, A, you'll lose that if your kids up to the age of 7 aren't vaccinated. Now they've made an amendment, Dr. Emma, to this law, saying that, and there's a few sections here, and I've put it in as a quote on the article. They've omitted a few sections. It says, omit under 7 and born on or after January 1st, 1996, and substitute under 20. So there's a few, isn't it? They've done that to a few sections within this social services legislation amendment. They've basically saying now that children under 20 now fall under this new law. Now, here in Australia, the age where you're considered to be an adult and have legal rights as an adult in this country is 18 years of age. You can drink, you can vote, you can do everything like that. However, now you're now going to fall victim because you're a young adult and you're going to fall victim to these laws as a young adult. So what this law is basically saying is that young adults now fall under this no jab, no pay law. And this seemed to have been snuck in fairly quickly as one of the amendments to the original proposed law. And this was done very quickly, and again, everyone voted for it. I think it was by full bipartisan support and pushed through very quickly. And I don't remember actually seeing this even talked about in the mainstream media. This wasn't mentioned on any of these breakfast TV shows, Adam. There wasn't in the newspapers saying that. There was no headline saying your children, and I hate when they use the word children because it doesn't cover it. It covers children and young adults that under the age of 20 are going to fall under these new no jab, no pay laws. There was no mention of this.
And Lee, I predict that within weeks to months, this will be extended to adults.
Yeah,
yep. Yeah. Well, that's what I ended the article with here. I've got, you know, hundreds of, only a fool would be blind to the fact that the corporation acting as our government, because that's what I refer to it as. If you follow my work, you'll realize. But once every single person fully vaccinated according to the schedule, a schedule which may have any number of vaccines added to it at any time. Hundreds of vigilant parents and concerned citizens have been marching and demonstrating in major cities across the country, hoping to wake up fellow Australians to what the establishment plans to do to us. They marched in solidarity, demanding to retain the right of freedom of choice without coercion. Even pro-vaxxers would retain the right to choose whether or not they wanted their children to receive a jab. Now it seems we're yet another step closer to losing that choice. So that's exactly, you're right. That is 100% correct. This is the stepping stone to now going, oh, it's going to be up to age 30. Oh, it's going to be up to age 50. Oh, now it's covering everyone till death.
If you get Centrelink payments, Lee, I think that's coming. If you get any kind of Centrelink payouts, yeah, you're going to have to be vaccinated as well.
If you want to get on an airplane,
that's coming as well. Driver's license.
Let me repeat with more urgency than I know how to define verbally. Ooh. You must assert your right of informed consent in order to have your right of informed consent. And you must assert it in a way that meets all of the requirements. It must be a proper assertion. The vaccine card that the Natural Solutions Foundation has created does exactly that. We were on the Alex Jones show not so long ago, and Alex said, well, people can make their own statement. And I said, Alex, you're wrong. I'm not sure Alex liked that, but he's a gentleman. I said, Alex, you're wrong. If people do it wrong, and we're talking about a trivial amount of money here to make sure that you have it right, that you have it signed, that you have it dated, that it conforms to the legal requirements that will give you protection under national and international and constitutional law in Australia. And if you do it wrong, the name for you is out of luck.
Out of luck.
That's the thing as well.
And let me give you the link again. It's Dr. Dr. Rima, truthreports.com, and then right there on the front, there on the front page, there's a link to the card. And Adam, would you give us your code again?
Yeah, I'll just get that up now, Dr. M. I've got it now. I was just going to say, Lee.
Have it tattooed to your skin for crying out loud. Come on.
I was just going to say, Lee, we've talked about this before. You know, they're not forcing you to get vaccinated, you know, in Australia. They're not coming and knocking on your door and holding you down the floor, but they're making it kind of unavoidable, aren't they? And it's just getting so restrictive that most people just can't avoid running into them, you know, and unless you're... Yeah. You know, and as Dr. Emma just said, you know, will it get to that where you, and all we do need is an outbreak, like a severe influenza outbreak, something like that, in Australia, and they'll say, you know, if you're flying out or into Australia, you need to be vaccinated and you need to have a card or you're not going to get in a plane. It could go on to things like these, all sorts of jobs and driver's license, all of that, and so people need to wake up here. It's getting more than frightening. This is a big wake-up call.
I guarantee
today.
You, instead of having a little symbol on your license saying that if you're a donor, yes or no, I guarantee it'll say, have you been fully vaccinated,
exactly.
Yes or no.
Would you have thought 5 years ago that we would be in this situation now?
Honestly,
It's happened? Is not a joke. It's really happening quick.
Actually, I did. I said 10 years ago.
Yeah, we were discussing.
The next 10 years. It was quite obvious that this was coming. The fact is, it's here. And there, to my mind, if somebody else has another powerful way of avoiding the vaccinations, then I would love to hear about it. But after a huge amount of research, I believe that this is currently the only viable option that will protect large numbers of people. It requires, unfortunately, that they each do something. And every member of the family needs to have his or her own card. If the mom is protected with a card that she signed, it doesn't protect the baby. Oh, speaking of moms and babies, you will be told that it's a good idea for you as a pregnant mom to receive a whooping cough, a DTaP, or a bunch of other vaccinations in the final trimester of your pregnancy. Don't do that.
Oh, yeah. Already happening.
It's a huge experiment to see what happens.
Yeah.
And we know what happens.
Yeah. It's experimenting on you. So,
I had... just to take a sidestep. I just want to tell something quickly. I went to court, had a bit of a gathering, and caught up with some friends just recently. And there was, you know, it was sort of a Christmas catch up with some friends. We're at a park. You know, there's nibblies and things on the table, and someone brought some, you know, some mixed nuts and some peanuts. And one of my friends, I won't name any names here. One of my friends has a small young daughter. And then he said, "Oh, just." You just make sure you wash your hands before you play with my daughter." And I said, "Why?" He goes, "Oh, she's we've got an EpiPen. Yeah, she's got she can't touch peanuts or eat peanuts, or you know, she's allergic to them now." I said, "Oh, really? When did that happen?" He said, "Oh, yeah, only just recently, you know." And I don't know if he was just being overcautious or maybe, you know, who knows, but I looked at him straight in the eye. I said, you know why she's allergic to peanuts now, don't you?" And he just sort of rolled his eyes and went, yeah, I know. It's because she's had particular vaccines that, and I'm pretty sure this is why, isn't it, Dr. Freeman, that they used peanut oil in the manufacturing of the vaccines. Is that correct?
Preservative, I think, yeah.
Is it preservative? Is that right?
Yes.
Do you know, could you tell us a little bit more about that?
Allegedly, there is no protein remaining in the oil, which is why the United States and Codex Alimentarius believe that it's perfectly okay for oils that are created from GMO seed or GMO plant parts to be used and not labeled as GMO. The fact that children or people are developing allergies when they're exposed to injected oil. Injecting oil is an insane idea, by the way. The fact that they're developing allergies, sometimes lethal, life-threatening allergies, when they are exposed to injected oil indicates pretty clearly that there must be protein left or that there's something else in the oil that is triggering an education of the immune system to respond to that same thing as if it were a threat to the survival of the organism and creating an immune-mediated allergic response, which can cause the windpipe, the airway to close, which can cause severe damage, which causes chronic damage, by the way. It's also possible to get this same peanut allergy by eating GMO foods that have novel DNA introduced that may or may not have anything to do with peanuts, but that triggers the same response because of the shape of the allergy-producing particles and proteins. Messing around with the genetics of something, including people, messing around, injecting oils, including squalene, by the way, which causes a pervasive autoimmune reaction, which is virtually untreatable, otherwise known, for instance, as Gulf War syndrome. Pretty bad. These adjuvanted and these toxically preserved vaccines have untold consequences, and they're all negative. They're all negative. The sad fact is that there is no positive consequence to being vaccinated. None, not one.
What was the ingredient in vaccines, Dr. Inman, that causes the diabetes in children?
It's not one ingredient. It's not one ingredient. Mm. When an autoimmune response is triggered, you know, diabetes is an autoimmune disease, diabetes type 1. When an autoimmune response is triggered and the islets of Langerhans cells in the pancreas can no longer make sufficient insulin, then you have diabetes. And vaccines are extremely good at introducing or creating autoimmune responses, not little autoimmune responses, but big ones. The inflammation of the brain, inflammation of the kidneys, inflammation of the lungs, that's called asthma, inflammation of the pancreas, that's called diabetes. And when the diabetes levels fall, now we're not talking about insulin resistance. We're talking about type 1 diabetes introduced and caused by the vaccines. When the blood sugar can't be moved into the cell, at the same time something else happens, because most people know that insulin is responsible for introducing blood sugar into the cells. Absolutely true. But insulin has another function that most people forget about, including doctors. And that is that insulin also is the usher that brings vitamin C into the cell. Now, without vitamin C, you will develop scurvy. That scurvy looks a lot like shaken baby syndrome. There's swelling. There's bleeding in the delicate vessels. Yeah, there's bruising, if you touch the child when this crisis is going on, your fingers and your thumb prints will remain on the child because of the fragility of the capillaries, and that is said to be an indication of child abuse, which it's not. So when you take away insulin, especially in a crisis situation, which is how it happens in the babies who die of post-vaccine injury, when you take away the insulin, you not only send the baby into low blood sugar shock, which by itself can kill a person, but you also send the child into a scorbutic crisis. That is to say, no vitamin C is reaching the interior of the cells where it does its work, and therefore you get the bleeding and the bruising and so on and so on. And it's called shaken baby when in fact it's iatrogenic murder. That is to say, doctor-caused murder.
Boy, boy. Is there, Dr. Rima, in regards to vitamin C, is there one you would recommend, like just your traditional ascorbic acid in high doses for people to take? Is that utilized by your body in the same way as a natural form of vitamin C would be? Because, you know, I know, you know, synthetic, you know, vitamins like multivitamin supplements aren't taken up by your body, obviously, like they are in natural food. But vitamin C sort of being hard to get, and you need so much of it to get into those cells. What would be a good way if you're not eating the right foods?
Well, if you have nothing else besides ascorbic acid, then by all means use ascorbic acid.
Yeah.
But you, and by the way, it's very important if you're taking any supplement, any nutrient, to make sure that it is not derived from genetically modified bacteria and yeast and corn and so on.
You need
organic supplements. That is to say, you need supplements that are certified to not have GMO sourcing. And if you don't know whether something has GMO sourcing, call the company. Ask them. They will say yes or no. And if they say, the answer is yes, we have GMO sourcing.
It's hard. In this country, it's hard enough to actually find out where the product, which country it comes from.
Yeah, a mix of imported and local.
Yeah.
It's got it on
everything. That's very interesting.
Yeah.
Call the manufacturer.
Yeah, yeah, and if they can't answer you, don't buy it.
Well, if they can't answer you, the answer's not a good one.
You tell them you've just lost a customer, and I'm telling everybody, you know?
Mm. Right, I've got Facebook.
Yeah.
The CIA created something to track us, and they gave us a brilliant tool that we use to disseminate information. And
yeah, there's no doubt about it's a powerful tool for sure.
Yeah, it
it's
is.
A very powerful tool. Very powerful. And so I tell people who say, well, I won't use Facebook because it was created by the CIA. That's foolish. They spend an enormous amount of energy and money researching tools that we can use for our purposes. So there's no reason not to. But anyway, the point is, vitamin C comes in many forms, and it's worth a little bit of research to look at the vitamin labels and to see whether it's vitamin C palmitate, whether it's a chelate with a mineral. That's usually a very good way to get vitamin C in. It's important to understand the source, not only of the vitamin C, but all of the other vitamin and mineral things. Let me say that one of the things that people get all excited about is that they have a mineral supplement that is made from the sea bottom or the forest floor or some such thing. And they're all excited because it has all the minerals. And then you read the label, and it's got mercury. And it's got arsenic. Oh, goody. And it's got cadmium. Oh, terrific. Didn't want those kidneys anyway. And it's got a whole bunch of toxic minerals just because it comes from the earth. Doesn't mean it's not toxic. It's got uranium. It's got radium. You know, if it's got 75 minerals, you don't want it. You only want the nutritional minerals. Mm. It's very important. Ground up rocks are not nutrients.
True. Yeah, too much for the body. Yeah. Well, I do get a good certified organic non-GMO a source of sodium ascorbate powder from Queensland Lee. Only costs about $14 for half a kilo. Yeah, it's pretty good. It's actually from the US, though. You can get the sodium ascorbate, calcium ascorbate, and all of them. I just find the sodium ascorbate a bit more gentle on the stomach. Seems to work better for me, but it's certified organic, non-GMO, pure ascorbic acid powder, so it goes into the blood quite quickly and much cheaper than the stores. You can get, maybe mix a bit of lemon in with it and stuff like that, as you can do for your bioflavonoids, you know. But yes, it's definitely something good to take every day, your vitamin C. As our nutrition is so poor, Dr. M, and people, especially in the US, on the GMO diets and the vaccines, Lee, and all this stuff, they're just not getting that nutrition into their bodies, particularly, you know, with the raw foods and the live enzymes and amino acids not getting enough anymore.
It's particularly important to have probiotics
as well, yeah, because the GMOs are attacking that, aren't they, Dr. Ema, as we know, our gut lining.
Yeah, the GMOs change the DNA of your bacteria. And you depend on your bacteria for life and for nutrition and for your immune system.
Well, it's good people are starting to connect the dots with the GMOs and the vaccines and the geoengineering, Lee, and all these things that they are interconnected and are all being pumped out by the same people, you know, and it's all destroying our immune system, you know, weakening us and our children, as Dr. Rima said, shortening our children's lifespans, what sort of life they may live. And as you said before, Lee, as well, you know, when you go into the doctor's office with your child and they get vaccinated, you just do not know what's going to happen to that child, what type of reaction they're going to have, what's going to happen later, and is it worth taking that risk, you know? It's just not, you know?
Russian roulette, mate.
It is. You're spinning the barrel, aren't you?
Really are, yeah.
I mean, even if vaccines were proven safe and you heard of a rare case in India where a child died, you'd still look it up and go, I'm not going to risk it, you know, but it's overwhelming how much damage they're causing. And if you're going to go and do it, then you're risking your child's life.
Exactly. I mean, like I said, look at the death rates from people who are not vaccinated and who catch these diseases, and look at the death rates of the people who are vaccinated and are catching these diseases via the vaccinations, you know. And the people who are not vaccinated, they seem to be pulling through a lot better because their immune systems aren't compromised as well. You know, young kids they're not compromised. You know, if they get this disease in a natural form, the body seems to recover and they learn how to fight it and they pull through, whereas a vaccinated child has a much greater chance of suffering much more adverse reactions from the disease itself and, of course, the vaccine in general as well.
Especially the children that aren't breastfed and bottle fed as well.
Correct.
And who are vaccinated seem to fall into line there of getting quite very sick. So
I want to amplify something that you said, Lee, which is absolutely correct, and that is the diseases that we're talking about, measles, mumps, rubella, chicken pox, these are trivial diseases.
That's right.
They are trivial diseases. Whooping cough, your child needs vitamin A and vitamin C, and the danger is over. Oh, really? The child needs vitamin A and vitamin C, and the danger is over. We're talking about 3 days of runny nose, high fever, whiny kid, uncomfortable kid, kid may be waking up in the night, fever, rash. 3 days for lifelong immunity, 3 days for a well-stimulated immune system, 3 days for never having been exposed to the multiple long-term dangers of the atrocity known as vaccination. Really? You can't handle that as a parent?
That's a good point. That's a good point, Dr. M. I think a lot of parents these days are really falling behind in actual parenting and care of their children. You know what I mean? Like they really just want to rely on the antibiotics. They want to rely on the prescription. Please, doctor, help my kid. He's got a runny nose. I don't know how to fix it. My goodness me, this isn't that hard. Parenting isn't that difficult. You know, myself and my wife, you know, whenever my kids had a, you know, something sort of wrong with them, you know, she would ring her mum and say, "What did you do for us when we were kids?" And she'd give her some advice, and yeah, we'd follow it to the letter. And well, yeah, before you know it, a couple of days, you're right, they might get up in the middle of the night. Oh, look, it's so inconvenient these days. Or God forbid, my child is vomiting in the middle of the night and then having trouble sleeping. 2 days, 3 days, you know, maybe a week at the most, and they're back on their feet. You know what I mean? They're resilient. These kids really are. Parents are just over. They're just overbearing, and they don't know how to deal with minor illnesses and so forth. You know, they think if their kid's going to get the flu that they're a bad parent. This is how they're being taught, isn't it, Adam? The media is teaching them this.
Yeah, well, and they're not bad
parents. They're bad parents if they fall victim to this sort of this hype, and then they have propaganda. To get the vaccine, the propaganda. That's right, they're falling victim to it. Yeah, just trust their gut. Look after the kids, you know. Give them plenty of water. Give them plenty of vitamin C. Give them good food. You know, give them a healthy diet. Get them off these sugary soft drinks. And you see these kids, you know, in the shops when the mum's got KFC and they're feeding it to a 2-year-old, and oh, he's knocking back a Coke. Are you kidding me? How can you be a parent? You know.
And then they're telling us to keep our healthy kids away from theirs. They have the audacity.
Yeah, because we're the ones spreading diseases.
You know, and their kids.
It's madness.
Yeah, I mean, when I came home, I remember coming home from primary school with chickenpox, and my father didn't even blink. You know, it was like my brother had the mumps and we made fun of him. You know, I think it was just a few days and it healed up. You know, my old man didn't care at all, but we're all healthier because of it. And now I've never seen anything like it in my life. These Murdoch papers are treating chicken pox, the humble chicken pox, and something like the measles and mumps as, you know, you're going to get, you've got AIDS, you know, and they're just scaring the hell out of people. And as you said, Lee, people don't know how to deal with it anymore. Whereas when I went to school, you went to school and you got chicken pox and no one really cared about it. It's like coming home with a tick on you or something. It wasn't a big deal. But now it's like this huge paranoid thing going on because it's what the newspapers are doing and people are falling into that trap.
And let me point out, speaking specifically about chicken pox, the chicken pox vaccine is directly responsible for an epidemic in children of shingles. The shingles vaccine is directly responsible for an epidemic of chicken pox in adults.
Yeah, my father got shingles because of the shingles vaccine.
Okay, you can get the disease itself, the chicken pox from the chicken pox vaccine, shingles from the shingles vaccine, but you also can get chicken pox from the shingles vaccine and shingles from the chicken pox vaccine.
Yep.
My grandmother got shingles from the flu vaccine, Dr. Rim. And that startled Dr. Tenpenny, but she said it's probably possible because my parents told me a lot of elderly people up their way are getting shingles from the flu shot.
Would that be because their immune system becomes compromised and it only takes one person to sort of maybe spread that disease? Is that what it could be, and then it just goes through them very quickly?
She's perfectly healthy. The doctor didn't check with Garth about it, and he jabbed her. I mean, she's never even really had the flu. He just recommended it for her, and she did it because she was alone, and she got shingles all over her body.
He's getting kickbacks for it, that's why.
He was, but he never checked with my parents, but I was up there, and she was in agony, and they were all over her body,
I was, this year, maybe 2 months ago, I think I grabbed that. They're calling it the Brisbane flu. I actually had that, and I was knocked off my feet for two and a half days. And yeah, I felt crap and all that sort of stuff. But I was back into it, and I work outdoors, so I get a lot of sunlight, and I eat well, and I drink a lot of fluids. You know, so I was back on my feet pretty quickly. You know, I had a few of my clients that is because I'm a gardener, Dr. Emer, and I had a few of my clients say, "Oh, why didn't you get the flu vaccine?" I said, "What for?" I said, "I got the flu and I'm over it." I said, "Well, I don't need to get a vaccine for that." And she goes, "Oh, I'm going to go down and get my kid and myself the flu vaccine." I said, "Oh, okay, righto, yeah, good luck." And the next time I visited them, I was at her place every 2 weeks. And the next time I came back, both her and her son had been unwell for up to 2 weeks since they got the flu vaccine.
I've noticed that.
I just shook my head. I said, "Okay, you know, good on you." went back around doing my lawns and stuff.
I actually met a family, Lee, a few families, and one in particular that all had it. And then the whole family were sick at the same time. After getting
shake
it.
Your head, don't you?
And like, you're like, you know, you're one plus one equals, and they just look at you.
Exactly.
With the vaccine, because of the brainwashing and because of the damage of the vaccine itself, as you have said, Adam, plus one equals 9,656.7. Because everything that's been fed in makes no sense, but it's just piled up in an intellectual and scientific hodgepodge.
That's right.
Yeah, well, I think it's one plus one equals whatever you tell me it equals to these people. You know what I mean? Like, it's whatever. Yeah, it's very, they're all win. They just win. Yeah.
One plus one equals another vaccine and another vaccine and another vaccine and
It's so sad. I think I might have to plug out shortly, Adam and Dr.
We'll finish up now, Lee. So get your details out and Facebook and website information and finish up on anything you would like to.
I mean, your listeners are probably already aware, and I think we share a lot of followers, mate. But yeah, for anyone new listening, please feel free to cross over and jump onto realnewsaustralia.com, and you can pop in your email address and you'll get an email whenever a new article goes up, or simply like us on Facebook and help spread the word. Like I said, that article I've recently put up with adults falling under the no jab, no vaccine law is well over 7,000 likes on Facebook. So it's gone viral, and the word's definitely getting there. More and more people are waking up, and it's great to see. Yep.
That's Real News Australia on Facebook. I'll put those links up.
Wonderful.
With it today. Dr. Rima?
Well, please go to Dr. Rima Truth Reports, DRRIMA, truthreports.com. Our Facebook page is Natural Solutions Foundation, which is the name of our foundation. I urge you to go to drrimatruthreports.com and make sure that you and your family and anybody that you care about has a vaccine advance directive card, and that you sign it, date it, and use it. On our website, we tell parents how to sign for their children. This is very important. It needs to be done correctly. Share that information. And when you purchase your cards, please enter Adam's code, which he is putting up on the podcast. This is more important than most people realize. It is literally life-saving. We believe that vaccines are contaminated with things that are not on the label, like nagalase, highly, highly damaging to the immune system. This is not something you want for yourself or the people you care about. This is the emergency of the moment, and you need to protect yourself and the people you care about.
Yep, okay. Agreed.
My unique code is 200-AC, so I'll put that up. This is going to be a big one today, Lee. It's going to be all the links going up today, but I'll put it up soon on our Facebook page for people to have a listen to. So, Dr. Emma, you're incredible, and Lee, you're the man. And
Thanks,
brother. We'll do this again soon. I'm going to be amping this up through the next into the new year, and I'll be doing podcasts pretty much on the weekends now. So we'll be able to do some with you a lot more, and just keep amping this up, because we're in the fight of our life.
We are in the fight of our life. Yeah. Understand, this is worth repeating. We are in the fight of our life.
We are, and we can't back off now. So we'll continue.
Dr. Emu, pleasure talking to you again. And if you could also maybe put it in the Skype chat here, but if you want to maybe send me a link or something so we can get, I can get that vaccine directive card and put it on my widgets on the side of my website. I'd be happy to do that as well and start spreading that one around too.
Good idea, yeah.
Do that in just a few moments.
No problem, that'd be great.
Okay, thank you. Thanks,
guys.
Okay, thanks everyone, and speak soon.
Wonderful, bye.
Thanks, Lee. Thanks, Doc.
Mm-hmm.